Blog Talk Radio.
I stroll through the pictures, what I've left behind. You want again. I'm locked up in memories, they all intertwine. The memories in my mind. I know tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come. You will never know what you've done.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Stop Child Abuse Now radio show, brought to you by NASCA, the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse. My name is Charles J. Stecker, Jr. I go by Charlie. I'm here tonight as your host. Our amazing co-host, Joe, is also here from Oregon, along with two special guest panel members. By the way, if you want to join our panel, please call in at 646-595-2118. Tonight's show is News of the Week. Yes, every Monday night, it's the News of the Week show. Before I introduce the show and its concept to you, I want to talk a little bit about NASCA and what NASCA does. NASCA is an all-volunteer organization with a single purpose, and that is to address issues of child abuse and trauma, including sexual assault and the many other forms of child abuse that exist, the violent or physical abuse, emotional traumas, and neglect. And we do so from two specific perspectives. The first is by educating the public, especially as relating to getting over society's taboo of discussing childhood abuses. With a specific emphasis on sexual abuse here at NASCA, but realizing that all child abuse needs to be talked about, we present the facts that show child abuse to be a pandemic, worldwide problem that affects everyone. And the second way is by offering hope for healing through numerous paths, providing many services to adult survivors of child abuse, and information for anyone interested in the many issues involving prevention, intervention, and recovery. We don't only seek to build, we are building a survivor activist community, believing that together we can do what we cannot do alone. We invite you to join Bill Murray, Carol D. Levine, Tammy Schostal, Terry Lanahan, Deborah Hunt, Joe Kopp, myself, Charlie Stecker, and the many other NASCA family members, as we invite you to help us discuss the child abuse-related news of the week from the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse. Every day we carry new articles based on current events. To make things a little easier, we collect all of them together for this, our weekly show, where community call-in participation is always welcome. I do want to give that call-in number one more time before we begin the show. And I do have one more announcement, and then we'll get the show underway. So thank you to my panelists for being so patient. The call-in number to be a member of the panel tonight is 646-595-2118. We look forward to you becoming a member of the panel. Now, before I go ahead and bring our panel on, I do want to talk about one more thing. Coming up July 29th, 2019, July 29th, yes, folks, that is just 3 weeks from today. There's an amazing event going on out there in Los Angeles, California. It's called the SCRIPT event. S-C-R-I-P-T. Stands for the Summit on Community, Resiliency, Intervention, Prevention, and Training, hence SCRIPT. NASCA happens to be one of the seven proud partners of the SCRIPT conference this year. SCRIPT is an annual conference that is offered free to the public. It provides an opportunity for professionals and community members to come together to address social issues on a local level. The very first script emphasized caring for male survivors of abuse and trauma. The response from attendees was so overwhelming, the conference directors felt compelled to keep the male survivor focus going forward. To date, over 400 people have received training through SCRIPT in areas that include gang intervention, crime prevention, the treatment and prevention of child abuse, and so much more. As a matter of fact, this year, NASCA's founder and CEO, Bill Murray, will be a speaker at the SCRIPT conference, which will be held Monday, July 29th, from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the California Endowment Center, located at 1000 North Alameda Street in Los Angeles, California. Bill will be on the speakers panel from 10 a.m. to 11:50 a.m., discussing the topic community-based intervention and the needs for change. Bill will also have a NASCA table filled with literature and resources to all attendees. The entire conference is free, and yes, I'll repeat that, the entire conference is free. This is an important conference for male survivors of child abuse. If you are in the Los Angeles area on July 29th, please plan to attend the SCRIPT conference. Some of the many benefits include continuing education credits, community partnerships, specialized training, networking, client resources, male survivor education, and a multitude of other resources. Again, that's the SCRIPT conference coming up July 29th, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. SCRIPT stands for the Summit on Community Resiliency, Intervention, Prevention, and Training. Now, without further ado, allow me to bring in our panelists for this evening and get this show on the road. First and foremost, I'm going to bring on my amazing co-host tonight, Joe from Oregon. Good evening, Joe.
Hey, how you doing, Charlie?
All right. I don't know whether it's my phone or yours, but you sound like you're underwater.
Okay. Let's try this.
You sound like you're talking to a fan.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, should I try a different phone, do you think?
Are you using a Bluetooth device or anything?
No, I'm not. I'm not on a speakerphone.
All right, let me bring in another panelist to see if they're hearing you the way I'm hearing you, because maybe it's my phone.
Okay.
All right, so let's bring in, again, no particular order. I'm just going to bring them in as I see them. So next up, I'm going to bring Katarina from Canada. Good evening, Katarina. How are you?
Good evening, Charlie. I'm better now because that made me laugh. She does sound a little weird, like a robot. It's really funny. You should talk more often. It's really hilarious. I'm glad to join, but you definitely need to change your phone, let me tell you.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, you sound like you was talking behind a fan. I am Joe. I am here to talk to you. Well,
hilarious.
Joe backed out. She'll come back in maybe with a different voice. We'll see what happens. But Katarina, welcome this evening, and we look forward to your input. Let me go ahead and bring on another guest. Let's go to Laura from Wisconsin. Good evening, Laura. Welcome to the show.
Good evening. Thank you for the welcome. I'm really looking forward to talking tonight and to listening to our news and hopefully learning something new. Thank you.
You're very welcome, Laura. We're happy to have you here. I do want to say, before I bring on my last two guests, folks, it is NASCA News of the Week. If you go to NASCA's website, you'll see a link for this on this show for tonight, July the 8th, and you'll see a link next to it for News of the Week. Click on that link, and you'll see a list, a plethora of news articles. Feel free to pick from any of those, or maybe there's a current news article that's on your mind you want to talk about. We welcome you to bring that. We're not just limited to those things that we have on our website. Let's go ahead and bring on Bobby, my next amazing panelist. Good evening, Bobby, out of Florida. How are you, sir?
Hello, Charlie. All is okay.
Wonderful. All is okay is better than many other ways it could be, Bobby, so we appreciate you being here. By the way, folks, when you do come on tonight, your mic will stay on. We won't mute you. If you know you have background noise, be kind and mute yourself. We don't want to mute you because we want you to be able to come on and speak whenever you want. We don't want to impinge on anybody's ability to speak when they want to and share what they have to. So, Bobby, thank you so much for being here. We look forward to your input. Now we were going to bring Joe back on. I think her helicopter has landed, so we should have a clear sound now. Let's see. Joe, are you out of the chopper or are we on the ground?
Let's see. Is this less robotic? Am I a little bit better on this one?
You are no longer hanging out in the chopper. I believe the chopper has landed. We're all good.
Thank you. Thank you.
Listen, folks, those of you who are out there listening going, what the heck, this is supposed to be a serious show. They're talking about child abuse and adult survivors of it. People, you've got to be able to laugh at yourself, laugh with each other, and have those moments of humor. We realize this is a serious topic. We know. We're not only survivors of it, we're warriors over it, okay? And it's okay to smile. It's okay to laugh, and once in a while, to laugh at yourself. So welcome to a safe landing, Joe. I'm glad you're back, and the chopper is off, the robot shut down, and the fan got away too. Whatever was causing that, you sound a lot clearer, and we definitely want to hear what you have to say because we know it's impactful and powerful.
Thank you. Thank you. All right.
You're very welcome. Well, let's get the show on the road. I'm going to go ahead to my panel, and let's see how many are ready. Anybody have an article sitting on the tip of their tongue they want to get out tonight? Well, that was a bit of an underwhelming response. I guess I'll start. I'm going to go to one that's probably going to throw people off that I would go to this one as the initial one. There's a reason behind it, and I'll share that in a moment. It's a very short article. If you happen to get on the page where the NASCAR articles are, it's about three-quarters of the way down the page, and the subtitle on the top left corner of the article is Showbiz. And the article is only 6 lines long. So it's a very, very short article. And I'm going to read what it is and read the article, and then I'm going to read why I brought this one up first and why I think it's important that we really pay attention to what's going on here. And, again, I'll explain that further as I read the article. The article's headline states, fans accuse Hillary Duff of child abuse for piercing her 8-month-old daughter's ears. Hillary Duff was accused of child abuse. By the way, if you don't know who Hillary Duff is, neither do I, but apparently she's an actor and singer. So Hillary Duff was accused of child abuse after netizens, whatever that is, that's a new word to me. I'm going to have to look them up. Oh, maybe that's network citizens. I'm not sure. But netizens, N-E-T-I-Z-E-N-S, noticed her baby girl was wearing studs in an Instagram photo that American pop star posted on Tuesday. Actor-singer Hillary Duff is facing severe backlash for getting her 8-month-old daughter's ears pierced. The American pop star was accused of child abuse after netizens noticed her baby girl was wearing studs. Okay, that kind of repeats itself on the first opening, so let's go on. Oh, yes, and we pierced her ears, she says in a caption on the post. Even though the story disappeared within 24 hours, the social media users continued to flock to Duff's Instagram feed. One post in particular read, a black and white photo of Duff and Banks laughing attracted several negative comments. Some commenters accused Duff of child abuse and causing tremendous pain to her young daughter. Others are vowing to unfollow the actress. The 31-year-old actress and singer and her boyfriend, Matthew Coma, announced the arrival of Banks on Instagram in October of last year. This little bit was fully stolen our hearts. Duff had captioned the poignant Instagram shot of her cradling her newborn in her arms at the time. She adorned our world at home on Thursday afternoon, and it's absolute magic. Now, that's the end of the article. Folks, the reason I brought this article up, and it jumps out at me, and believe it, I don't have a preference over one article to the other. I was just scanning through them real quick before the show. And I believe we have gone, in my opinion, and again, what I share here on the show is not necessarily that of the opinion of NASCA, my host and or co-hosts, or fellow members on the panel, or even some of my brothers and sisters in the NASCA family. But in my opinion, this article here shows clearly we've gone in some ways way over the edge of making accusations of child abuse. Some may differ with my opinion, and I respect the fact we can agree to disagree. But I don't think getting a little girl's ears pierced is child abuse. And maybe that's because I was the father of a daughter. I got tired of walking through the mall hearing everybody say, oh, what a cute little boy. And I figured not only did I get her ear pierced for that, I always wanted to anyway. So I got her ears pierced, and she still wears those earrings to this very day. And my daughter was probably around 8 months old when I did it. So that being said, in my opinion, getting your baby girl's ears pierced, maybe not at birth, maybe not right away, but I don't see it as child abuse. Someone on our panel may differ in my opinion, and I open up the mic to their opinions.
Well, I had a similar view of, oh my goodness, what next when I saw that, because people have been doing that for a long time. I've seen lots of babies even younger than 8 months with their ears pierced. So I don't know why all of a sudden they pick on one person. Yeah, it's amazing. Why don't they? Do the real abuse. Why don't they get that excited about the real abuse?
Yeah, and again, I don't want to. I'm with you, Joe, on that 100%. And I definitely want to hear from Laura. Katharina, is that you?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Me? Did someone
else?
Yeah,
I thought I heard you
want
to get
first?
A word in.
No, not me, not yet.
Okay.
Go ahead.
How about Laura or Bobby? Any input on this article in particular jumps out at you?
If seeing your child's ears pierced is child abuse, then send me to jail. My daughter got her ears pierced twice and her nose pierced. You know, granted, she's 18. She got her ears pierced when she was one. So
wow.
I believe that if you're labeling that as child abuse, then so is, I'll give us an example. I was trying to cross the street, a busy street with my daughter. She was 2 years old, paused, and I had to kind of pull her, and I had a guy yell at me, I'm going to call the police for child abuse on you. And, you know, then I'm a child abuser. I think they're misrepresenting what child abuse is and how serious it truly is.
And Laura, I'm going to piggyback off what you said there because you're absolutely right. And that's the other point of this article that I wanted to bring forward is that articles, not the article. The article is good that we're hearing it, that these things are being exposed. But when you claim something as this as child abuse, which I would guess 99.5 people out of every 100, the other half a person probably would say it is, takes something like this and creates it. It waters down what really is child abuse, and it makes it, in my opinion, again, something that, oh, God, it's another one of those stories. And instead of someone doing something about it and looking into it, they turn their eyes away from it. And it waters down the effectiveness to an extent of the ability to really address true child abuse cases. Now, again, nothing against those of you who believe that this is child abuse. I will respect your opinion. I'll agree to disagree with you. Bobby, we haven't heard you on this topic. Any word from you, Bobby?
I think piercing ears is about 5,000 years old. So they just probably want to be in the news. People are arguing with the poor social, the poor movie star. Someone's got a mental problem there.
And I agree with you, Bobby. And that's, you know, we live in a society right now where there's nothing sacred, everything's exposed, and everybody wants to pick on somebody else. Most people don't want to look at themselves. And you know, my question would be, my challenge would be to those who think it's child abuse. Find me someone, look, go back through your family tree and find out how many people in your family tree had their children, both boys and girls, because we know boys get their ears pierced more often today than ever before. How many of those had their children's ears pierced at an age where you would think it was child abuse? And maybe you should start off in your own family accusing them of child abuse, because in my opinion, again, it sounds like my fellow panelists this evening are all similar opinion that this particular story is not a story of child abuse, but again, on my summation, a story of the overzealousness we've become of accusing everyone and almost anything of abuse. And stories and accusations like this, it is what waters down and causes an adverse effect to the real stories that need the press, because it becomes, oh, it's another one of them. Again, my opinion, not necessarily that of the panelist. So anyone else want to talk about this article? I know it's a short one. I'm going to keep it short, but I don't want to shorten the panel's time to speak on it.
I actually want to add something in now, if that's all right. You know, I can understand both sides, the perspective that it's not child abuse because it's something that is deemed the norm in society. I mean, I got my ears pierced at the age of 2, you know, and it was the social norm. That's why I did it. I guess my parents did it to me. But I guess what's happening right now, I think it's a breakdown and an evolution. It's an emerging of the sciences, psychology, neurosciences, and society. And I think it's just the whole topic of trauma, you know, it's the movement of the awareness of topic of trauma in our society. And I think articles like that, it's a representation of how certain scholars or let's say even the newspaper editor, whoever wrote this article, people try to size up things on a spectrum. And I think that this is just a perspective from a spectrum that sees trauma as something that has a low threshold. You know, from our perspective, we think, oh, it's a low threshold. But from their perspective, they're thinking it's a high threshold for this newborn baby who's only 8 months old. How are they experiencing the pain on a developmental level, will it affect them? So I think that is where the newspaper article is trying to kind of come from. At least that's how I see it. Is it correct? I don't know. We don't really know. You know, can we do a study on this? You know, maybe can we pier some rats in a lab and see what happens? Sure we can. Will it be productive? I don't know. Is this a huge deal? Well, we could try and size it up. You know, we have social scientists for that. And I think that's what they're trying to do here. But I don't think this is the area for that. But I kind of like that the whole topic is being brought up. It's just being brought up from a different perspective, I guess.
Absolutely. And I see your viewpoint, and I can agree with you, Kathleen. It sounded like someone else wanted to share. Go ahead.
No, well, I was just agreeing with her that, yes, it may be like swinging the pendulum way the other way, but it is bringing it to the attention, and maybe they'll start seeing the real abuse by doing that. So, yeah, I can see that point. Thank you, Katerina.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yes.
Good article.
Well, it was an article to start the show with, and we spent almost a little over 15 minutes on it, which for such a short article, it definitely generated some conversation. Hey, there's Bobby. Well, what's going on, buddy?
I just want to say one thing more about the ear piercing. From ancient times, ear piercing was done when an employee of a community or employee of a plantation decided to become a permanent member of the community, the employee's ear was pierced as a sign of belonging to the community. So this is 6,000 years old. So ear piercing is common as knitting, as common as sewing today. So there's got to be some underlying reason why someone comes along and points a finger at a movie star. We've been watching movies for 100 years, and every movie star had ears pierced. You know, so it just
absolutely,
doesn't.
Absolutely, Bobby.
It's just someone comes along, and we didn't know who this person was, who's complaining about the movie star, the fans. You know, they want to bring the movie star's name up in lights, probably, to promote the movie star. You know.
Yeah, I hear you, Bobby.
In that manner. It's impossible that that could be the point of the conversation. He is pierced.
Yeah, I hear you, Bobby, on that. I'm with you.
No comment.
And Bobby, you know, absolutely. I was grabbing some. I'm going to grab a bit of humor out of the beginning of what you said, Bobby. You know, I don't know how your age bracket, neither do I need to know, but there's some young folk today that might call those of us in my age bracket ancient. So in the ancient of times, you know, things happen. But I know what you're saying. You know, piercing of anything. I'm as like bond servants. A long time ago, had their ear pierced, their left ear pierced, both male and female. So great article, great input from my panel. Again, I want to announce to anyone listening into the show, it is the NASCA Current Articles of the Week show. Go onto our website. You'll see tonight's show. There's a link next to it. Click on the articles. Go through the articles. If there's one that you grabbed your attention, you want to talk about it, please call in 646-595-2118 and bring the article, become part of the panel. If there's a current article that's tugging at you and it's not on that list, bring that too, and I offer that to our panelists. With all that being said, I'm going to ask our panelists, is there an article anyone has that has grabbed their attention? Sounds like Joe has one. Go ahead, Joe.
Yes. Okay. It starts with the fifth article down from the top. And it's actually a series of articles from Tulsa, Oklahoma. And the first one is called Breaking the Cycle, What the Leading Voices for Change Say Oklahoma Needs to Reduce Chronic Childhood Traumas. Few people have been in a position to bear greater witness to Oklahoma's extraordinary rates of childhood trauma than Doris Francine, who recently retired as Tulsa County's longtime chief judge over juvenile cases. In nearly two decades of handling 30 to 40 cases a day, she had to confront every kind of heartbreak and horror a child could suffer. Her quote, "My largest frustration is the fact that we need public awareness and the proper resources to address it, more medical and appropriate mental health care," unquote. She also said that she gets so frustrated that we don't get out of our little neighborhoods. It was just so sad what people who live here experience. There's such a large part of our population that has just gone through so much and is hurting so much, and so many people aren't even aware. And then a little bit later, I think it's in this one or it's a later one, there are some statistics about how, I think it's a later one, but anyway, how Oklahoma is like number one, if you're starting from the bottom of the list on so many statistics and things. But I don't know how anyone can handle two decades of 30 to 40 cases per day of child abuse type things. And so I admire her for doing that. But also, if a judge has that kind of frustration, then you know it's showing that the problems are so much deeper than even a judge can address.
And what a timely article! And I too myself had went through in the articles. And I saw the series of articles. And, you know, I don't question being number one, the highest percentage. You know, I hear that a lot from a lot of places. This place has the highest percentage. That has the highest percentage.
Mm-hmm.
To us, as we say here at NASCA, there's a pandemic going on. There's too much of it all over the world. And whether you're a high percentage or low percentage, we need to do the best we can to make it no percentage. But, yeah, like you said, imagine to have that amount of time. And it's ironic that you bring this article up because just this morning I was at the Monroe County in Pennsylvania where I live, our Children and Youth Roundtable, and our head judge in charge of children and youth cases is the overseer of that. And I got to spend about 5 or 6 minutes of quality one-on-one time with him as I walked over to the courthouse. And got to pick his brain a little to get to know him a little better and him to get to know me a little better. We happen to be both good friends with someone who sits on the Pennsylvania State Supreme Court who used to be Philadelphia's head judge, Judge Dougherty. But in talking with this judge off the bench and getting his input, you know, here's one of the things that really jumped out at me that he said. When it comes to a lot of these cases in child abuse, he personally liked to do more than – his seat on the bench will allow him. You know, he's restricted under laws and keeping the laws and following the guidelines of these laws that are created, that there are many times, and this came directly from a judge. I'll leave his name out. This came directly from a judge this morning around 9:30 here on Eastern Time, so it's less than 12 hours ago to my ears, that there is many cases he wished he could do more, but his hands are tied behind his back. And he said, when you see the same cases come through your bench 17 times, that's the exact number he used, 17 times, you get frustrated. He said, and that's part of what led him to create this coalition that I'm now a part of here in Monroe County, Pennsylvania, bringing a multitude of people from all different walks to come together for the betterment of children. And I'm blessed to be the only person on there on this group that is a former foster youth, a former product, and an announced overcomer of childhood abuse. I'm not going to say no one else in there is or isn't of an overcomer of it, because they may or may not, they may not want to announce that. But as someone who's gone through the system, overcame the system, and now is a warrior fighting for those still in it, I know that I'm the only one that, because I was told that today. But so, as I hear what this judge went through, imagine for a moment, we hear a lot of articles about judges and things they're not doing, and about social workers and things that they are not doing based off of public perception. But have we taken the time, and this article opens our eyes to, have we taken the time to ask those judges? Have we taken the time to ask those social workers? What do they feel? What do they wish they could do different? You know, and how can that happen? And when I had that opportunity this morning, it really opened my eyes up. And we need to stop looking at this system called child welfare government and non-government agencies as a system separate from us. We are part of that system. We need to build bridges across to that system, and we need to work hand in hand together, because that's how, in my opinion, we're going to take this hemorrhage of child abuse that is pandemic, and we're going to be able to put a tourniquet around it and get it to something that, while we acknowledge it'll never end, we can sure get it to stop from the flow it is, in my opinion.
Wow.
Okay, my fellow panelists.
Well, bless you for being on that group. Wow. They can sure benefit from your experience and your drive and your warrior attitude. Thank you for doing that. Wow.
Okay. Well, you're welcome, and I appreciate that, but I'm definitely not looking for accolades for me, although I've learned to have to accept them, and I will, because I don't want to refuse someone else's. But it's about the kids for me, and it's about our families, and it's about you, about the other listeners, you know, and I love all of you to life. Thank you so much, Joe. I appreciate you.
Thank you.
Anyone else have any input on this article? Well, Joe, you sound like you wanted to share something else, so go right ahead.
Yeah, okay. Just a little further in, since there hasn't been a groundswell of discussion on it. There's a national movement with grants and federal dollars available for Oklahoma to try to tap the reforms with a statewide approach. And so they have a task force to take stock of the current efforts and identify potential strategies to address gaps in the services. And it sounds like they are really trying to take, they're really taking a hard look at this because they said, well, Governor Carol Bush, that's the representative Carol Bush, said that Governor Stitt wants to be a top 10 state. It starts with our kiddos. It starts with the kids, and that is that's true. But it was amazing the mixture of they're trying to this leaders from government, education, and mental health and social services say there is a growing consensus to attack the root causes of Oklahoma's extraordinary rates of incarceration, divorce, child abuse, heart disease, and cancer deaths. Now, on the just on the first reading of that, it sounds like what are the, you know, it sounds like a shotgun approach, but it's all related. The incarceration, most of the people who are in our jails and prisons are have been abused as kids. Divorce because they're don't they're because mostly because of child abuse. The heart disease and the cancer deaths. The heart disease is one that's a little more identifiable because you know when your heart's broken, then you get heart disease. But the cancer death is deaths. One aspect of it, which I'm very familiar with, is the pain eating away inside of you, and that is. And never not going away leads to the physical manifestations of cancer as well. And so they are really all related. And it just shows the breadth of the impact that child abuse has on other seemingly unrelated topics. So I commend Oklahoma, Tulsa, for taking on and identifying that all of those are linked together and that they share the same root cause. And it's very encouraging that they're starting to identify that there isn't a separate cause for each of these, but a lot of them, you can't say all of them, but a lot of them are have the root cause in child abuse.
I agree with you. I agree with you. Couldn't agree with you more on that. I do want to give our other panelists some voice time. Anybody have anything you want to talk mm-hmm. to about, talk on about this article?
Well, I just want to say that was a really good comment. And another theme that, other than child abuse, like the major theme that I think all of humanity can definitely relate to is the impact of stress on our lives. And stress, you know, a stressful mm-hmm. situation, trauma, you know, stress overload will literally affect our brain function and our ability to cope with daily life, you know, and mm-hmm. people could shut down, and in the process of shutting down, they can get into addiction, into some unhealthy behaviors. They can spend some money they may not have, let's say get into debt. And then gradually they may lose their home and become homeless. And this person may have a child abuse story or they mm-hmm. may have a stress story. And, mm-hmm. you know, a family dysfunction story that isn't necessarily child abuse maybe. You know, but the theme is stress. So we are all impacted, and these social structures, they don't just sustain the vulnerable or the disadvantaged or those that are the outcast all of a sudden because they are sick or disabled or homeless or runaway or incarcerated. These are institutions that we all at one point may be forced to use.
You know, we may get sick at one point. We may require mental health services. We may have our house burned down, and then we're homeless. We are going to be seeking the same services from these social systems that we can say all the bad things we want about. And, of course, they have gaps, but we must be responsible for how they're doing because we're paying taxes for them. You know, 40% or more goes to the government so they could fund these systems. They could put them in place for us. They're not just out there for just the 20 or 30% that are living below the poverty line who are struggling, maybe, or the mentally health, those that are dealing with mental health issues. They're there for all of us, so we must really look at it. And I'm glad that people are looking at it. It's very, very promising. It's a good start.
Yes. And I also like they had a definition of trauma-informed. Means educators and others working with children must ask themselves what happened to a child rather than what's wrong with them. And so that's the difference in trauma-informed, is you say what happened to the child, not what's wrong with them. So I thought that was a pretty good description.
Absolutely, 100%. Now, Tanina, Laura, any input on this article from you? I don't want to have you feel left out, or Bobby, either of you want to join in?
I'm worrying a lot just listening right now.
Okay, Laura, we appreciate you being here, and we appreciate you listening. And don't feel pressured at all. I didn't want anybody to feel not included. So, and Bobby,
well,
the same
Bobby.
For you, as you know, my friend.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I think it wasn't 2 months ago, 3 months ago, 4 months ago that we talked about Tulsa. The discussion about Tulsa, I don't remember what it was. I remember saying that it's a big commercial city. And I think it was the police department. I think it was the head of police, the Tulsa Police Department. The lady wanted to start a program, community policing program, and specifically about this. I'm sure it's there somewhere in our files if we go back to National the last couple of months. It was very important. So I think that the schools are, and this judge is targeting the schools, must be an effect of the head of the police department of Tulsa. They have to come to the forefront. They have to. Somebody's got to. You know, every police department has got to. I don't know what the words are saying, but here you got this judge, and they got a police department head, police department. So they're all wondering is who's responsible for to stop this thing? Who's responsible to find the child abuse? Who's the person to identify the child was abused? You know, they. They don't have the finger on it yet. So I guess they're all, the judge is coming public with all her facts of child abuse right in front of the community.
Mm-hmm.
And no one's done a thing about it. For 20 years, no one has done a thing about it. Just, you know, come up against it. And each incident is independent of the next, which is sad, you know, because we're discussing this for a lot of years in Alaska. They're sitting there as officials, and they don't call in on our Monday night show. You know, all these people are just,
Bobby, I want to say something to you, personally, Bobby, live on air. Bobby, you're a man of few words, and I know you're a very patient man. A lot of times we have to, you know, do things and continue on the show. But Bobby, when you have that opportunity to speak, when you have an opportunity to get your thought together and put it out there, your words come through direct, clear, and powerful. And I appreciate you, and I appreciate you in those patient moments as well, when at times, as you're aware, we have to cut mics and we have to move on. But I've really enjoyed interacting with you over the past almost year on these shows. And I enjoy your input when you're able to get formulate and get your thoughts together. So great input tonight, Bobby. Thank you. Anyone else have anything to share on this article? Katharina?
Yeah, I do, actually. I want to say one last
wonderful
thing. And yeah, that was such a beautiful comment, you know, Charlie. And Bobby, it's so wonderful to listen to your thoughts and insights. So thank you for sharing as well. And I just wanted to say, because what kept coming in my mind, just through my experience working in non-for-profits for the many years, is that I saw a difference between the non-for-profits that actually, I guess, delivered their mission statement of proper, wholesome care to the disadvantaged population. Yeah, so I saw a difference between how they were managed, the ones that were successful at doing that, versus the ones that were not successful at doing that. So in order to be a non-for-profit, like in Canada, there's a lot of incentive because the government will actually give you money to open a non-for-profit. It could be up to $200,000, right? And then you're funding a population. So there are people that go into it for business, and there are people that go for it because they're passionate. They actually want to help, and they want
to
solve a problem
to start a non-profit
in society.
In Canada.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Okay. So what I noticed is that it comes from management. It's really from who is sitting in the leadership roles in these organizations, because they're the ones setting the rules and they're the ones setting the etiquette that we support workers or social workers or clinical psychologists or whoever who is attending to these people who need help. They are going to be setting the standard of how this is done. So if the people in management doesn't care how the clients are really feeling, or if there's a disconnect between management and frontline, like miscommunication, or maybe they're not really understanding what things are in the frontline, they're just used to paperwork in the office, so they don't really connect with the clients. There's a breakdown in service. There's a breakdown in care. And I realize that it kind of stems from that point because, you know, organizations that turn around and do successfully, a lot of the time, I'm amazed a lot of the time that the leaders who run those places are not some tough sharks. They're actually like very sweet empaths, visionaries, people who see outside the box, who work hard, who have a mission. And those are the organizations that are sustainable, that exist for years because they have good content. They have people, their staff is happy, their clients are happy, they're getting more funding because they're getting more charity sponsorship, so they're doing a good job. You know, so it's like a ripple effect. It really is. So I just think that maybe we need to put an incentive in place, not just the money in itself, but kind of like a reward, like who does, I mean, hold people up to a standard of care, I guess. Hold the organizations up to a standard of care. Let there be more audits. I mean, we did have audits in our organization, but there were many times that I saw things done not by the book, you know, and the manager was aware she was doing the same thing, and it put our clients at risk. You know, I was a teenager at the time. What could I have said? There were times I stood up, you know, but I confronted it here, at least in Alberta, because it's a huge thing, and non-for-profits are huge. I'm sure it's kind of similar in the U.S., maybe. So it does come down to who is
in power and who is running it as well.
Mm-hmm.
They're,
mm-hmm.
Wow. Absolutely. I owe Katharina a apology. I forgot that I hadn't muted my mic. The executive director of the nonprofit I work for and with was actually walking out when she overheard some of what you were saying, and she stopped to listen. And I appreciated her doing that because I can tell you, I work for a nonprofit who truly operates as a nonprofit. I made more money last year as a brand new hiree, brought in never having any housing counseling experience, and within that year getting my certification, I made more money than my executive director. Okay, I work for a nonprofit that truly puts its money right back out into the street to the people we serve. And so when she heard that, and I jokingly said to her, when I heard you talk about $200,000 for Canada, I jokingly said to her, we need to open an office in Canada so we can get some financial backing, because we have to raise all our own money. I actually sell books on Amazon to raise money for here. We have yard sales every once in a while. I sell on eBay and many other places. But it's great to work for an agency, and it's great to hear what you had to share about that particular piece of it, Katharina. So thank you so much, and I do owe you, and I sincerely mean that, an apology for interrupting. I didn't realize I hadn't muted my mic when my director came out.
Oh, no, no worries. And you know what? It's the $200,000 mark actually shows a real problem here in Canada. It shows that the government is willing to pay strangers, like people from any sector, if they're interested in mental health and helping the underserved population, they're willing to offer them money to start a business. That gives you insight into how huge of a problem this is and how many services and actual care is missed. So, you know, there is a gap, because if there wasn't a gap, then the government wouldn't be so stressed to even offer that.
And I hear you on that, and I agree with you, and I'm going to throw another perspective out there. Here we are, your neighbors just south, the United States of America, as we're known, although I don't know how united we are anymore, we didn't get back that way. And yet, we have nonprofits here, like the one I work for, like several that I've worked with and for and founded myself, who can't get that backing. Social service nonprofits, those in the child abuse arena, those in the child abuse prevention arena, those in what I do now as a housing counselor, have to battle to get money, battle to get grants, find ways to raise their own funds. And yet we watch the government create programs that they are running, and dare I say, not running in the best way possible, because good portion of the money that they get, they utilize to pay their upper management, middle management people, and the money that's left over gets trickled down to the actual mission. When you have real nonprofits non-profiting, using their funds, they should be the ones getting those funds, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So,
yeah, and you know what? These programs – sorry, last thing, Charlie. That's a great comment. These programs are important. I wish that the U.S. had these programs because, you know, people that have an interest – like it's a lot of work to start a non-for-profit. You can't just jump into it and hope for the best. You actually have to be savvy and be well connected and, yeah, get your resources and place some funding. The 200 grand will definitely take some of the stress off if you want to, get lease a place or, I don't know, provide some medical support. I don't know, just anything. You can use it for anything. It's a great, great start. And I think the U.S. should implement that, because there's people that they do have a dream of solving a social issue and they want to start a not-for-profit and they need the help. I mean, who has time to go fundraising every day or every weekend? Mm-hmm. It's a lot of work. You need a lot of volunteers. You know, it's a lot of planning. So, yeah, let's take the edge off for those people that want to make a difference. different. That's really good. Really good comment as well.
Wow. Yes.
Well, folks, I do want to take one moment. It's we got a little over a half hour left of the show, and I'm enjoying our panel this evening. I'd enjoy it even more if we had some additional panelists call in. Not that I don't enjoy the four I have already. I'm thoroughly enjoying them, but I know somewhere out there there's a voice that needs to be heard. I know somewhere out there right now there's someone reading an article that they want to talk about, and maybe have a little fear about coming on. How about you just come on, share the article with us, let us know where it is, and get your voice heard that way, and we can go on. So if you are that person or that multiple people out there maybe going through that at this moment, live as we're on air, our call number is 646-595-2118. And if you're hearing this and the show's already over and it's another evening and you're sitting there quietly and you feel it, you know what? I want my voice heard. Monday nights, folks, is our NASA News of the Week show. Open mic. Come on. Be part of the panel, be part of the voices being heard, and have your voice heard, even if it's only for a moment. You can come on the panel. We have guests tonight on our panel that have chosen to be here but don't want to be called on consistently, want to be able to listen. We respect that, but their voices were heard. Have your voice heard. Call 646-595-2118. We have just a little over a half an hour left of tonight's show. I want to move on, if we're ready, to move on to another article. If not, we can continue on this article or things that are sprouting from this article, all shoots. What say my panelists?
I'm ready to move on. Another article if someone has one.
All right. Well, we have three other panelists tonight that I don't believe have had an opportunity to share an article. Or maybe you don't have the articles in front of you if you're on our panel tonight, but there's something that was recently in the news that you'd like to talk about. I want to open that up, too. Don't feel locked in that, oh, my goodness, I don't have my computer in front of me, or I look at the articles, there's nothing really grabs my attention. Maybe there's something hitting the news lately. Maybe somewhere in, you know, the Wisconsin area or up in Canada or down in Florida. Anybody there or a listener wants to call in with a news article from their area? How about anybody have anything else they want to talk about on this News of the Week show tonight?
Yeah, this is Bobby. I got an article. Might as well.
Go ahead, Bobby.
Halfway down, it's the Philippines. No,
I'm right at it, Bobby. That's ironic.
I'm not on the page, so I have to go back the page. But a main point in the article was that the West is fueling the child abuse. Of the Philippines.
Yes.
And I have the article in
that's
front
the note
of you,
I
Bobby,
made
if
next,
you want me
that's
to...
the note I made next to the word Philippines. So I got to go back. So someone else has... You read the article, Charlie. Fill us in a little bit about more about the article, the Philippines.
I absolutely will, Bobby. It's ironic. You said that, and as you said where the article was, I happened to be scrolling, and not for any particular reason... stopped my scrolling and it was right there at that article. So obviously that's confirmation that this article was supposed to be next. And Bobby, I thank you for bringing that up. The article basically states, and I'm going to, because it is a rather long article, I'm going to give you a short version of the long what it says. The topic says Westerners are fueling the Philippine child sex video rise. 2/3 of children forced into online sex abuse videos in the Philippines are exploited by their very own parents or family members. Much of the trade is driven by people in the West paying adults to make the films, many of whom say they need the money to survive. Victims include, this is despicable. I don't even like reading these words, but I have to because it's here and it's in the article. I'm only reading the first paragraph. Victims include infants as young as 6 months old, says the organization International Justice Mission. The Philippine government says it's working to combat the abuse. Many of those buying the film specify what they want done to the children, with the resulting film then either live streamed or post online to the abuser, who watches it from their home. This article goes on to say so much more, folks. I guess I do a little more than I realized. I was just at another meeting just before the show this evening, with another organization I'm actively getting involved with in my county. And we had a woman that just came back from the Philippines after 15 years of living there. And she spoke on this very matter and how that's being trafficked, sex trafficking via online, not just the child being taken somewhere and having intimacy, but the child being filmed and then being trafficked that way from the Philippines, and how rampant it is, and how in some families over there it has become their way of survival in a country that economically is in really dire straits. And there's no excuse for child abuse at all. But if we don't create the demand, Westerners, that just does not mean the United States. But if the demand isn't there, the product wouldn't be there. We need to get these people. These people who are looking at these things, law enforcement should be all over them. We got to find ways of making that happen. So, Bobby, thank you for bringing that up. Bobby, I don't know if you had time to find the article. I know there's more. If you want to go over it, I'm open to you. I just wanted to share because I know you had said you weren't back at it yet.
Well, you made the point, Charlie, of the few words I left out. There's just a massive amount of money behind commercial, this commerce. And we're fighting something, and you can't stop the fuel. It's just there. And when these little articles,
right,
you know, peek, play peekaboo with us, every once in a while, it's like, you know, like dots on a dartboard. There it is. The poor judge we just talked about in Tulsa. Imagine what fueled all the cases she got there for 20 years. Not the fact that it's Philippines, it's the money that goes between these people, just to sanction it. They're allowed to do it because they pay to do it. No, they have households.
Yeah.
They make the buck, and that they think they make the buck, so they're allowed to do what they want. There's the moral structure's gone.
Well, I want to share another piece of the article, Bobby. I'm sorry, Bobby. I want to share another piece of the article real quick. There's an organization called the International Justice System. I took a moment just to get a little background on them. They were founded in 1997, so that puts them at about 22 years old, roughly. A little further down the article, it says, the International Justice Mission, which works with agencies such as the FBI and the United Kingdom's National Crime Agency, has helped rescue around 500 Philippine children since its inception. It says it has been most on raids and rescue operations conducted by local police just over the last 5 years, about 150 in total. That's 69% of those cases. The abusers were found to be either the child victim's parents or a relative. Now, you know, we talk about so much about stranger danger and all these other things that, you know, and again, the reality is a lot of us, and I speak from my own abusive background, my abusers, most of them weren't strangers. As a matter of fact, none of them were. You know, the woman who murdered my brother, my foster mother, my biological mother, these were people I knew, and this same thing's happening. And dare I say, while we're reading about the Philippines right now, because Bobby so graciously brought this article up, I would imagine that the same despicable behavior is happening in places like Canada, places all over the United States of America, and a multitude of countries. So thank you to the International Justice Mission for what you're doing. And, 50% of the children are age 12 and younger. Okay? Folks, this is directly from the article. A former British Army officer, he was arraigned and charged because he arranged for children to be sexually abused in the Philippines while he watched online. Okay? So at least some places are doing something about this. But with all this internet activity we see and all this policing of it we hear about, these people need to be not only policed but locked up and put away. Anybody else want to talk about this article or something that's maybe offshoot of this article but yet related?
Well, every week I say, now I've seen it all and there can't be anything worse. And then, wow, there it is. When I read that, it was just, you've got to be kidding me. And but if you're poor and somebody's offering you, you know, what seems like a lot of money to you, not much to them, guess you sell your soul. I don't know. I just don't understand it. But wow. I hope they can close whatever loop they're in that makes that connection between the people with the money and the problem and the people who don't have money and are desperate. I hope they can close that loop so that there are other ways that the parents feel that they can take care of their family rather than selling themselves and their kids like that. I don't know. Just, wow.
Well, you know, Joe, take a worksheet and work up the flow from week to week on the article of NASCAR, there's no stopping. The arrows just it's like couldn't tell a donkey. It's there. And we repeat ourselves. We're redundant. Every Monday night we're redundant. Another town.
Bob, you know what?
Another police force.
You just said something about an old child's game, pin the tail on the donkey. And, folks, if you know me at all, you know, I pepper things with humor. We have to have some humor. And I say, let's pin the jail on the child porn junkie. Let's pin the jail on the child porn junkie. So it's pin the tail on the junkie. Pin the jail on the junkie. Let's put him in prison.
Yeah.
You know, wow. So yeah, that's a little humorous in the way it sounds, but it's fact. You know, we need to these parents who are doing this, and I realize there are economic challenges. There's no excuse, but these people, if there wasn't a demand created for this, we could find other ways of helping people in the Philippines, people in America, people in Canada, people in every country represented around this world that are caught up in this pandemic of abuse, this abuse of our sacred, our most precious gift, our children, who one day are going to be the adults who lead this world and run this world. Wow. So, yeah, let's pin the jail on the junkie. Anyway, that's, again, Charlie's opinion, not necessarily that of my host, co-host, panelist, or NAFTA.
I just have to say that's one thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, go ahead.
I just have to say that sounds like the story of my life. And our justice system is broken, so these people are not in jail. You know, there's no... You have less consequences of using a child than you do your dog. So that's all I have to say.
Laura, sadly, I have to agree with you wholeheartedly, and that's a sad testimony that when you said they'd save a dog before an abused child, it's a sad and true testimony, people, what Laura just said. It's despicable and disgusting. Yes, animals need saving, absolutely. But, folks, our children Oh, our children are so much more precious. We'll save a whale in the middle of the ocean that we'll never meet, but we won't save our cousin, our grandchild, our niece, our nephew, or our next-door neighbor who might need us. Thank you, Laura, for bringing that to our attention. Laura, I want to say thank you to you for your coming on these shows, for listening, for being here. Thank you tonight for staying just a little longer and for a moment allowing your voice to be heard. What strength you're showing in doing that and being here, and I appreciate it. And I'm honored to call you my sister, and if there's anything I can do to assist you, please do not hesitate to reach out to me, okay?
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You're very welcome. You're loved, and Laura, you let those tears flow, dear, okay? You let those tears flow. Let all that hurt inside come out. You're surrounded by family right now, okay? And if you need me, I'm going to give my phone number. I give my phone number to everybody. It's all over the internet. I don't care. Yeah, I get prank calls, so what? But if you need me, you take my number, and when you're ready, I'll give it to you, all right? And you need me any time of the day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 366 days a year. You call me. Even if you just want somebody to listen to you, I will listen. You're not alone, okay?
Okay, what's your number?
It's 570-856-5895. That's my cell
Thank
phone
you.
Number. If you're very welcome, Laura, I want to tell you this. If that call will cost you anything additional, please, if you have the ability to text me. I will call you back. I don't want you to spend money on a call that's there to help you, okay? So if it's going to cost you money, just text me or call me and hang up. When I see your number, I'm going to put it into my phone now, the number we have on your online. I will not announce it publicly, but I will save that in my phone, and if I see it ring and hang up, I'll know it's you, and I'll call you back. If I don't answer the phone, and by the way, anybody who takes my number, if I happen not to answer the phone, it doesn't mean I'm ignoring you. It doesn't mean I don't want to talk to you. I may be busy at that moment, but you will hear back from me within a very short period of time, either by text within minutes or within a couple few hours if I'm in a meeting. So, Laura, you are an amazingly strong woman. I want to say that to you personally this evening. I've seen you come on our shows. I've seen you, for whatever reasons you had to leave, you take your time. You know how to self-heal. You know what you need for you. And tonight, I'm just honored to be able to offer that to you and be here for you. Thank you so much for you, and thank you for being real about where you are right now and sharing yourself with us
thank you.
Raw and passionately. I appreciate you.
I'm so honored to be part of the Mesca family. That means a lot.
Well, little sis, you got a big brother and a bunch of other big sisters and big brothers are out here and are holding up the standard for you. And then that zone, I'm going to give it over to some of my other our other panelists to come on and have a little chit-chat here on whatever they choose.
Yeah, you have a lot of love shared around here for you, Laura. So, yep, we're all here for you. And you can't ask for a better big brother than Charlie. He's got so much love to share. It just comes pouring right out of him. It's wonderful.
Well, Joe, I do appreciate that, Joe. And accolades too to Bill, our founder of NASCA, Bill Murray, our founder of NASCA, who created this, began to birth this network that is now growing. And I believe will live on for generations to come. Although, as I said in the past, and I'll say again, look forward to the day that the NASCA family slows its growth, because we have less people growing from childhood into adulthood as adult survivors of child abuse. But being that said, as we have yesterday's children becoming today's adults who are living through this tragedy, this travesty, these criminal activity being perpetrated upon them, I'm blessed to know that NASCA exists along with many other agencies similar with similar missions. So thank you to everyone. I accept the accolades that are offered to me graciously and humbly, and I spill them across to everyone else doing the same or similar work to what myself and NASCA is doing. So thank you so much, Joe, and everyone else.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah, these articles are kind of hard Chris. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, no, you're absolutely right. I just want a quick announcement here. We have a little over 15 minutes, so I'm going to say we have about 10 or 12 minutes, because I do want to give each panelist some closing remarks times as we end the show this evening, unlike a couple weeks ago when I lost track of time, but I got a better timer tonight. I was on my office computer again, and it's still telling me I got a lot of time left, and I realize I don't. But that being said, we got about 10, 12 minutes to talk about another article or whatever's on your mind to talk about. I mean, I like that way too, so... Any news articles or something else somebody wants to talk about this evening?
Well, I kind of wanted to say something about that article. You know, it's just that I think it is an issue of, there's a lot of issues at play that are perpetuating this to continue. But when you look at the Philippines specifically, what I found out, at least when I kind of watched documentaries like way back, was that police corruption was a theme. There was corruption in government. There was corruption on all levels, on numerous levels of service, you know. And it's kind of like that shocking article that I think a couple of days back we heard of the physicians doing a similar thing with infants. Somewhere in the Western world, in the Philippines, I mean, are we really surprised? So, you know, we see human desire from a sinister place be perpetuated and be allowed to be perpetuated because there are not tougher laws in place. So when Charlie, you were saying, you know, let's punish them harsher. Yeah, let's punish them harsher, and let's hold people in government and people that are in the service industry who are supposed to be helping these kids. Let's hold them all accountable. Let's create an incentive for them to do their job better. And I think that would be part of closing the gap as well. But otherwise, great discussions tonight. It was a pleasure to take part and to listen to everyone.
Oh, and last thing, Charlie, I've been texting you. Like, when are you going to message me?
You didn't get my return. You didn't. I'm happy you didn't. You aren't getting my return messages. I did text you back.
No.
Yeah, I'm actually texting.
I'm texting you, and
you
I'm not getting anything back.
Well, that's odd. What I'll do, yeah, because let me see, I'm actually looking at it now. You texted me on July 2nd, and, well, that's weird. I texted you back 3 months ago. Did you get my Happy Canada Day one?
Yeah, and then I sent you one after. Yeah.
Oh, you know,
like,
what?
Maybe
okay. I see that with your email. I will get back to you because I want to send you some information. Thank you for calling me out on that, and I apologize. I was sick the past 3 days, but that makes no excuse. I will definitely, and I'll get you, and I see that. So I apologize to you, and I will make sure I address that.
No, no worries. I'm just practicing being more vocal, because usually
I'm practicing being held accountable for what I say I'm going to do, and not only saying it, but getting it done. And I do apologize. I see now that there are several messages that I didn't respond to, and I will definitely address that. Thank you so much, Katharina, for that. I truly appreciate you bringing that to my attention. I will make a greater effort to respond in a faster amount of time. I apologize. Being sick is no excuse. So
we all have.
I'm not worried. I'm honored that you would bring that to me. I'm honored that you brought it to my attention and that you felt comfortable enough to bring it to my attention. Thank you so much. So I will make sure I work on that. So, and you will hear from me at the end of the show tonight. We do have about 10 minutes. No, I'm not pressured. I got to be held to my word, and I see where I fell short, and it's okay. I will make sure I clear that up, and we'll take care of it. I appreciate you definitely, most wholeheartedly. Folks, we have about a little less than 10 minutes, and we've had a lot of articles tonight. We started off with an article that talked about abuse that several of us agree to, and some, so, you know, and others may not, about, you know, an abuse situation which doesn't appear to be abuse to many of our eyes. and we've had a multitude of other things we've talked about. And if my panelists don't mind, there is a real quick article, recent article, mm-hmm. just came out in the past couple of days. Actually, no, I'm sorry, last couple weeks ago, out of New Jersey. It's a very short article, and I would like to end the show tonight on this article, if it's okay with the panel. It's a feel-good article. Can we do that? Is that
cool.
okay?
Okay with me.
Okay. All right. Well, here it is, and it's very quick and short. A Southern New Jersey high school senior and child abuse survivor earned a full ride to one of New Jersey's top universities. A young man is earning praise for his resiliency. He's thriving and looking forward to a bright future despite some tough circumstances. A survivor of child abuse, Kajuan Garrett hopes to one day help other kids in difficult situations. School was almost out for the summer at his high school, and for seniors, Friday is a big day where all the hard work pays off. This young man is leaving his high school with quite the high school resume. He's a multi-sport athlete, band member, and honor roll student who earned a full ride to one of New Jersey's major universities. I'm going to end what I read there because, well, let me add one more thing that he says here. What is most impressive is that he's accomplished all of that as a child abuse survivor. In Garrett's own words, he says, "I've had to take a negative and turn it into a positive and just try to make the situation a good thing." He chooses not to have anger. He chooses not to have hate. He chose to work on himself because he always tries to teach people that if people make you mad, success is the greatest revenge. Folks, this young man tells you finally as he's closing his article out, you have to learn how to forgive even though you've probably been abused. Don't forgive just to forgive them, but you have to be able to forgive to move on and do what you have to do to pursue and be what you want to be. This is a 17 to 18 year old young man that after someone, and this young man's in my local area, brought me into my attention, I immediately went and sought him out on social networking. And I'm honored to say that for the past couple of days, I have been interacting with him through private messaging on Facebook. And we are planning on getting together within sometime over this summer break before he starts college. So there's a real good article to go out. A child abuse survivor gets recognized for what he's done and earns a full ride to a major university in New Jersey. How's that a way to end the show tonight?
Thank you. Wow. I love it. Wow.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And I share that because there's hope for all of us, folks, no matter what age we are, whether we're an adult survivor of child abuse, whether you're a child right now who may be listening to this show and thinking, I'm by myself, I have no hope. There's hope. We're here. People are listening more and more every day than ever have before. And we're honored to have you here with NASCA, here listening to our show as a listener, here on our panel. And just what another amazing evening, another opportunity to be blessed as your host. I invite you. We are out on the air 6 nights a week. We are on Eastern Time, 8 to 9:30 p.m., Western part of the U.S., 5 to 6:30, and all around the globe. This is a global show. You'll figure out your time zone, where you are, but come and check us out. Listen to our shows. I'm back on Wednesday night for our special guest show. I'm going to give Joe, my co-host, the opportunity here to talk about the other shows for a few moments. So, Joe, take it away.
Oh, for the shows this week?
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't have the list in front of me. Forgive me,
sure.
I should memorize what each show is each night, but if you know that, I know you seem to have your grip on that.
Yes. Oh, I gotcha. Okay. Yes, on this is our Monday night show. The Sunday night show was on community policing, and then we have Tuesdays and Thursdays are where we bring in experts or people, professionals who will answer questions. It's a call-in. You have any questions that you're dealing with during any part of your recovery, any part of your journey, and they will be there to help with you. And that's the Tuesday and Thursday. And then on Wednesdays and Fridays are the special guests. And that's where someone is speaking out, sometimes for the first time. And I think we all sort of remember when that was, when we first started telling our story and relating what the impact it had on us and where we are on our journey. And so we are here to support the new people who are joining NASCA and are sharing their story and we're sharing our love with all of them, as well as all of our current NASCA family. So we're on 6 nights a week, and we're here for you. And as you heard from our big brother, there's just so much love sharing around here, and we're all on the journey. We're each on our own journey, but we're all traveling together.
Joan, thank you so much for that. What an amazing co-host. She had no idea, folks. Joe had no idea I was going to put her on the spot like that, because I put myself on the spot by not being familiar with all the other night shows. And Joe came through once again, shining as she always does. And that's what's amazing. See, here at NASCA, we are individuals working together on the same theme as a team. And, you know, come join our panels. Call in, listen. If you're listening and you don't consider yourself a NASCA family member, welcome to the family. You are one of us. You are our brother, sister, or however you describe yourself. You are a NASCA family member, and you are more than welcome, and you are here. As we prepare to close out tonight's show, I have about 4 minutes left. I want to give each of our special guests their fair share of time to say a few words. And again, I'm going to go down in no particular order, but I'm going to pick people and I'm going to ask them if they want to share something. If they don't, silence is golden. We respect that. So I'm going to start off tonight with Laura from Wisconsin. Laura, any closing remarks tonight? If you should so choose to, you're welcome to share them now.
I learned a lot tonight, and I also found a lot of support that I could really use right now. So thank you, everybody, and the entire NASCA family for listening to me babble. So thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome, Laura. And you're not babbling. You're showing that inner strength that's there, and that light that maybe was a nightlight for a while is turning into a 100-watt bulb, and eventually it's going to be a huge spotlight lighting up the whole sky, girl. I know it. Well, thank you, Laura. We really appreciate you. And I'm going to go ahead on to Katarina from Canada. Katarina, any closing remarks for our show tonight as we prepare to call it an evening?
Yeah, it's been such an interesting show today. Really great topics, amazing comments, and I just love the love, energy, and support in this group. Thanks. It's been a pleasure.
Well, Katarina, as always, it's a pleasure having you here, a pleasure connecting with you, and I am going to work much better and much harder at keeping in contact with you off air, and I commit that publicly to you right now, and I do truly appreciate you holding me accountable. I mean that with all sincerity. Thank you. Next person I'm going to ask to throw a few words out for the evening is our man Bobby out of Florida. Hey, Bobby.
Hello, Charlie. You know, I counted up the nations. It's 10 nations we mentioned tonight on NASCA. Articles in the thing. So and the each article of the nations is dealing with another part of legal. It's not all
absolutely
one type of a sex abuse. There's
exactly.
It's moral and it's economical. And
absolutely,
it seems
Bob,
that,
you're absolutely right.
We have to hear from some of these professionals, you know. That's what we
absolutely
have to hear.
Bobby,
they should contact us, some of these professionals, to let us know that we read their articles. We read about them. They should join.
That's a great idea, Bobby. We definitely will do that. We are down to a little less than 60 seconds. I want to get my amazing co-host Joe on here. Bobby, thank you so much for your input. We'll definitely, you know, it's a great idea. Reach out to some of these people who write these articles. Joe, go ahead.
Nice job, Charlie. Great show tonight. And I'm just soaking in the love from everyone. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome, Joe. Folks, my name is Charles J. Stecker, Jr. I go by Charlie. We're going to close out tonight's show with my favorite line, and that is, the only adult not responsible for child abuse intervention and prevention is any adult who themselves was never a child. Good night, God bless, and see you out here tomorrow evening. Take care, one and all.
Blog Talk Radio.